There's a few of us here this morning, isn't there? I said there's a few. That's a great joke. You guys need to laugh at that joke. There's a few of us here this morning. Oh, am I turned? I'm turned on. Okay, that's what it was. We cannot blame the joke.
Sorry.
Well, glad you all are here this morning. We stand with us as we begin some praise and worship. My life is in you.
More power.
Close to your side. tonight. I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one.
Thank you. in our lives for what you've done for us in our lives. Lord, we thank you for being the great I am. That your name brings power. That your name demands respect. And that in all of those things, you still love us that don't deserve. God, we thank you for your love and your mercy, for your grace that you give us. Lord, we thank you for the ability, the privilege, the honor we have of getting to gather today. And Lord, those of us, our friends, our family who are sick, who are ill, who are struggling, Lord, we lift them up to you. We pray for their safety. We pray for their health. And we pray that we can all join again together at the next appointed hour. Lord, as we come before your worship today, we pray that everything we say and everything we do brings you glory, brings you honor. That, Lord, as we come before your offering, that you are blessed by the worship of our tithes and offerings. And that, Lord, as I stand before you, I pray that I am not here of my own accord, but Lord, that your Holy Spirit rains down on this place, that you work through me to speak your word. And Lord, if it's not called for me to be here, Lord, that you silence my lips and rise up the man who is. Everything we say, Lord, everything we do to honor and glorify you. And it's in your great name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. And the other piece was, if you haven't already seen your bulletins, everything's in the bulletin. There's several different notes, several different things coming up. Youth group, we're going to be changing. We're going to try something out on Sunday nights. So check that out. See the bulletin for the exact details. The youth group, on behalf of the mission team, is going to be setting up and doing the chocolate-covered strawberries like we've done in the past. So if you like chocolate, if you like strawberries, if you like supporting missions, make sure you go sign up on the water cooler. And those are the big bullet points that I was told of. If there's anything else, see your bulletin, check the Facebook page. We'll keep you in the loop.
Check your, are you on? Now I'm on. Can you hear me now? I was going to say, most of you probably could hear me pretty well, but hey, we'll roll with it anyway, right? That's what it's all about. So listen, I got to be honest, this week has been kind of crazy. With so many people sick, with so many friends and families down. And then the honest truth is, I had a crazy work week. Like many of you out there working this week, I put in about 73 total working hours, and I had 990 miles that I drove. It was a long week. It was a long week. And I know many of you do the same thing. Many of you put in the same amount of time, the same amount of work hours, the same amount of drive time. So I know a lot of us are tired. I know a lot of us have rough weeks. And sometimes finding that balance is that difficult thing to do. Sometimes the balance of making time for all of the things in our lives, I find it to be difficult. I was telling Matt when I walked in this morning, you know, it was a great week. I had a lot of fun at work. I did all the things I needed to do. But by the time I got home, I didn't want to do anything. I barely wanted to watch TV. I kind of just wanted to go to bed a couple of the days where it's just that exhaustion, right? And I'm sure many of you the same thing. By the time you're said and done with going through work and doing whatever chores you got to do around your house, and then you get that few minutes of peace and quiet, and you're like, man, I'm just going to go to sleep. But we have lives, and we want to balance these things. And so today I wanted to talk about making time. So I titled this sermon, Make Time. And so we're going to pick up exactly where I left off the last time I preached. So if you missed that, go back on the website. We have all the sermons. But last time I shared with you guys what is yet to come. And we looked at some of the characteristics that Paul was expressing are going to be in the end times. And be all, end all, summary of it is, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. So today we're going to look at the same text. We're going to get into 2 Timothy. If you have your Bibles, if you have your phones, your scrolls, your stone tablets, or however you look at the Word of God, open it up, pull it out. John, you can grab your tablets wherever you're at. Let's go ahead and get over to the text today. So 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we pick up. And it starts off like this. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and because of his appearing and his kingdom. And I have to stop right here, because this right here, this is a right off the bat, starting extremely strong, right? I solemnly charge you. This isn't just like, hey, I recommend. This isn't just, hey, this would be an encouraging. No, this is, I solemnly charge you. And I don't do this very often, but I felt like it was kind of important to bring out the Greek of this word. So this charge here, this actually came from, it's a Greek word. It's dia maru romai. Totally butchered that. Don't check that, okay? But the Greek word there means testified, right? So when we look at it like that, we say, I solemnly testify, using a legal term. We have to remember here that this text, this right here, is Paul telling to Timothy, listen, we have the judge, right, Jesus Christ, who's going to judge us, right, the living and the dead, because of his appearing and his kingdom. So I want to start off with just this text and look and say, this message that Paul is telling us, he's telling Timothy, he's telling us the same thing, is not only important, but it's a priority. If you get a legal matter that comes before your desk or before you, or you get a legal thing in the mail, it's urgent. It's not when you get time. This is a priority. So this important priority that we have is what takes place in verse 2. So we pick up in verse 2 where it says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and teaching. Preach the word. Let's talk about the seasons. We're not talking about winter and summer here. We're talking about the seasons of life. We're talking about the good times and the bad times. We're talking about the ups and downs. We're talking about those days when everything is great, and honestly, those days when you just want to give up. See, Open Door, we're very blessed here. Not all of you know all of everything that happens sometimes between Pastor Larry and his life. Pastor Larry's been serving here for the 17 years that I've been here and beyond. But anything prior to me, I don't know about. And of the years that I've spent with Pastor Larry, I've gotten to see some great times that we've had. We've had some awesome years in ministry together. But I've also been there when life was tough. And I would love to tell you that everything is perfect in the life of a pastor, but I think that anybody who knows him will know that's a lie. Life has obstacles. Just like you guys, Pastor Larry has bad days. He's had tough times. He's had days where he doesn't want to come in. But he faithfully serves Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month, year after year. Now we can move to decade after decade. Open Door, we are very blessed to have Pastor Larry in place because he is an example of a leader who preaches the word and is ready in season and out of season. But this isn't just for Pastor Larry. This is for all of us. See, we all go through tough times. Ministry has taught me that you will have ups and downs in life. There are days where we are all chipper and cheerful and we can all put on the smile. And then there are days where we kind of have to fake the smile, and the people who know us really well, they go, "Richie, you're lying." And I have to say, "Okay, shh. I'm okay today." We all have those moments, which is why my first point to you today is that we need to make time to share. Listen, this word isn't just about preaching the word. It's about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We should be ready, whether it's a good time or a bad time, to tell about how great God is and what he's done in our lives. Look, maybe you're not out here on stage preaching or even on a corner preaching. Maybe you're just sharing the good news with your friend or your family member. Maybe you're just telling somebody how great it is to be a part of a church that loves you and cares for you. To know God that loves and cares for you. This first point that I want to encourage you all with is we need to make time to share. But that doesn't end there. Verse 3 says, "For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear." They will, verse 4, turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. And we talked about this a little bit in the last text when we discussed how the world is going to continue to grow more and more weary of the truth, and they're going to want to hear just what makes them feel good. But even scarier here is that people are going to start going away from the truth, and they're going to start turning aside to myths instead. And we're not just talking about beliefs like Greek mythology or things of that sort. No, we're talking about people are going to find myths about God and start believing them as well. People are going to start believing things like you have to earn your way to God. or God only loves the good. Or maybe things like we have to act like we're better than everyone else. Or my personal favorite, that we have to hide our mistakes and failures from everyone. It's for this reason, my friends, it's for this reason, my family, that I encourage you that we need to make time to study. See, I can't encourage believers in a teaching and preaching format enough to study the Word of God. Why do you say that? Well, because believers, we have to continue to grow in the Word. We have to continue to understand what the Bible says and what is true so that we don't fall into the myths, so we don't fall into the traps of this world. And you know what they say, practice makes perfect, but the reality is practice and continually working at it is what allows you to master a skill. If I were to call on some of my students in the group that are in theater or that are in band, not going to name any names, but if I were to ask them, like, how many times do you have to practice at your instrument, they would probably tell me multiple times a week or every day. If you talk to the praise band, they have to practice and practice and practice until Mike thinks it's perfect, and then still practice some more. Right, Mike? I know. But that's the truth. We have to keep working at it. And our theater performers are the same way. You have to practice it and practice it and practice it. And Ronnie, do you ever get tired of practicing the same thing over and over? That's the real. But how about the Word of God? Listen, we have to continue to work at it. We have to continue to read it, study it. We have to encourage one another within it. Sometimes it's a matter of sometimes we have to argue it, right? Sometimes me and Jason, we got to go back to back and say, no, you're wrong. And we have to encourage one another within that. That is what we need to be looking at when it comes to study. It's not just about reading, it's about growing. Verse 5, but as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. You know, when I read this text, I kind of get stuck in this do the work of an evangelist line here. I don't know how much you guys all know this, but everybody has gifts and talents and abilities, right? And we all have things that we're better at than others. Some of us are very academically inclined. There are those of us in the room who have probably forgotten more than I'll ever know. Yeah, I look over to Mike, and I think about Isaac, who hides in the back. You know, I think about my mother-in-law. Right? People who are much smarter than I will ever be. But then there are some of us who are more organized. There are some of us who are more social. As some people like to point out, there are some of us who are louder than others. Right? And I'm not naming any names, but some of us are good at being loud. Some of us don't need a mic except to be able to be heard on the live stream. Truth is, we all have different gifts. And when I see this reminder here to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist, it's almost as if he needed that reminder that that was a part of his ministry as well. That he needed to be told, hey, don't forget, this is part of what you need to do. We need to exercise in self-control. We need in everything, and we need to endure hardships. All parts of the believer's life, all parts of an everyday life Because there are times that are going to be tough. But then after this verse, in verse 6, Paul starts to change the way he's talking. So it starts off in 6, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close." Verse 7 says, "For I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." Paul is telling Timothy, he's telling us, the readers now, that he was nearing the end. Being poured out as a drink offering is Paul saying that I'm becoming a sacrifice. He recognizes, because Paul was good at athletic analogies in his writing, he recognizes that he's fought the fight, that he's run the race, that he's kept the faith. His leg of the race is just about over. And something I can call out here is that Paul made time to serve, which is what we need to do as well. We have to make time to serve. Your quick poll in the room. Does anybody feel like they're not busy? No? Nobody feels not busy? Nobody needs one more thing? Look, I know from the people I talk with on a regular basis that busy is just part of our expectation. Running is what we do. And any parents of teenagers or younger knows that running is pretty much all we'll do until they're 18. And then it goes from running to worrying based on what I've gotten from parents of not teenagers. So the truth is, how do we serve? How do we make time to serve? Well, the reality is, you have to make time. You have to find a way, find an ability, find times in life that you can jump in and serve. Paul tells us in verse 8, "There's a reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing." See, we're getting a crown, those of us who loved God. And as we look at that, it's that reminder that there is a reward. God's not just saying, "All right, you're here, we're done." There's a reward for what we do for the Lord. Verse 9, "Make every effort to come to me soon." And again, I want you to notice the change in tone that Paul has here. "Make every effort to come to me soon." Verse 10 says, "Because Demas has deserted me since he loved this present world and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia." Paul's mostly alone now. Paul's asking Timothy to come to him soon because everybody else around him has now gone or been sent off. Some abandoned the way, like Demas, and some of them have gone off to Galatia or to Dalmatia to start preparing other things that Paul has asked them to do. You'd see references to some of these guys throughout Colossians and Philemon. You can see, obviously, the letters to Titus. People are left. People are leaving. It's beginning to be just Paul, or so it would seem, of course, until we see verse 11 where it says, "Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you, for he is useful to me in the ministry." So we obviously know who Luke is, and if you haven't been in church for a little while, Matthew, Mark, Luke, he's one of the guys that wrote the Gospels, right? And more importantly, he also then wrote Acts, which is what happens after the Gospels. Luke is still beside him at this point. But if you compare this to about 10 years or so ago when Paul first gets arrested, there's a major difference to what's going on. See, people were visiting him. People were coming to see him. There were all of these people around Paul. But now, in his end, it's just him and Luke. And he does this thing that is kind of weird. He asks for Mark. Now, I'm dating the church here. You got to go back to when Larry was preaching in Acts for all those years ago. Or go read Acts, and specifically go to Acts 28, and you start to see that Mark and Paul really didn't see eye to eye. In fact, they separated and went on two different missionary journeys because they didn't agree with stuff. Which is why I bring mine to the next point. We need to make time to reconcile. Look, they didn't see eye to eye. They didn't want to serve together to the point that they separated and went different ways. They weren't bashing each other. They weren't offended with one another, but they weren't seeing eye to eye. They weren't going to be able to bring it together, so they didn't serve anymore together. We got to make time to reconcile. That means sometimes we got to put our pride out of the way. Listen, sometimes you're wrong and I'm right. And that's okay. We can make it through those issues. And sometimes I'm wrong and you're right. And we can make it through those issues as well. Sometimes we just don't agree on something. Maybe it's a difference in the view of leadership. Maybe it's a difference on how we should do worship service. Maybe you don't like that Mike only sings four songs. Maybe you want him and the praise band to sing eight songs. Sorry, Mike. Maybe you want the sermons to be an hour and a half and you want worship to be 5 minutes. I don't know. We all have different opinions. We all have different views. We all have things we like and don't like. The point when we are no longer talking to one another because of it, when we can't worship together, that's when the truth is, that's when we need to have a conversation. We need to do everything in our part to reconcile. Sometimes we have to make time to do that. We have to step back and realize that, you know what? I maybe offended a brother or sister, and I need to go and talk to them. I need to work that out. Verse 12. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. Verse 13. When you come, bring the cloak I left in Thros and Carpus, as well as the scrolls, especially the parchments. All right, so quick understanding here. Thros is where he first gets arrested, hence the reason he left stuff there. Scrolls and parchments were much of how they had the Old Testament, the writings. Paul's not specifically attached to these worldly things, but rather he's looking to study and learn more. He's looking for something to take on and occupy his time while he's in prison. Verse 14, he talks about Alexander the coppersmith did great harm to me. The Lord will repay him according to his works. Verse 15, watch out for him yourself because he strongly opposes our words. Paul, again, is trying to defend and warn his ward, Timothy, about the person who seems to be oppressing Paul. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me. May it be not counted against them. Even when Paul has the world against him, even when people are not on his side, he's trying to reconcile with them. He's trying to forgive them. Something we oftentimes don't want to do. It's easier to just be mad. It's easier to be angry. It's easier to hold it against that person forever. Like when you didn't say bye. Or that person that didn't say hi to you. Quit holding stuff. Quit harboring that anger. Verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that I might fully preach the word and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord, verse 18, will rescue me from every evil work and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, this reflection and optimism is something, and joy is something we should be striving for in all things at all times. But remember, Paul is at the end of times. He's at the end of his life. He's about to quite literally be poured out as an offering. He's being persecuted. He is in for what many of us would call the worst of times, and yet he is still confident, positive, and joyful in what he's talking about. Verse 19, though. Greet Priscilla, or Prisca, and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus has remained at Corinth, and I left Topherus sick at Miletus. Make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as do Ponidus, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with all of you. My last point here is this. It's point five. And sorry, Leslie, I had the slides a little out of order there. It's we need to make time for people. You look at all of these different people that Paul references from 19 to 21. Paul wasn't focused specifically on what was going on with every single one of them in all of the details. But he talks about each one of them. He references them, greeting them, sharing love with them, blessings to them. Listen, we all have different things in our lives that we got to deal with. We all have different circumstances. We have ups and downs, goods and bads, and everything in between. And we got to make time for all of the stuff. You got to work. You got to go to school. You got to learn. You got to get paid. You got to make money to be able to eat, right? We all know all of those things. But we also have to make time to do the priorities as well. We need to make sure that we're making time for people, that we make time to reconcile with people, that we make time to serve, that we make time to study, and that we make time to share his good news. Now listen, maybe you're thinking, well, I don't have time for any of these things, let alone one of these things. Or maybe you're thinking, well, I don't know how to do any of these things. Listen, I get it. I understand. I don't know how to make time for all of these things either sometimes. Sometimes we have to step back and we have to ask for help. For people, reminding ourselves that people around us are important, that the impact you have on others is more significant than you realize. I got the privilege of going to Nashville a couple weeks ago, and my big takeaway from it was that we need to be intentional with our impact on others. Because you don't know what every single person is going through. I didn't even get to say hi to Jason today, but I don't know what Jason's going through today. Maybe Jason's had a terrible day. All right, well, it's a good day. Oh, I'm glad. But maybe just saying hi, maybe getting to hang out with Jason for a few minutes impacts him in a way that helps make his day that much better. Or maybe you encourage him in such a way that he's feeling better. The people around us are important. And our ability to make time for people needs to be a significant part of our lives. Making time to reconcile, to fix or to mend broken bonds. It's a part of our everyday. Sometimes we have people that we don't get along with. We don't have a good relationship anymore. Maybe you're not the best of friends, but you know what? Within our power, within your ability, the best we can, that we can at least say hi to one another. We can have some type of bond. We have to make time to serve. Listen, you don't know where to serve? I got to tell you, there's all kinds of places. Whether it's cleaning up the cups at the end of us doing the Lord's Supper, whether it's something as simple as cleaning the church, watching the children, serving and teaching classes. Maybe you're just somebody who's serving by helping bring water to the church or helping bring water to people in Weirton who need water right now. Don't know how to study? Listen, I get this. This is one I can genuinely tell you, like many of the others, ask for help. Steve, you're teaching a class down in Sunday school. If somebody comes and asks you for help on how to study or how to learn something from your class, are you willing to help them out?
Absolutely.
Tracy, I'm going to pick on you too. You teach in the little kids, right? And even if a big kid comes up and asks you for help on how to study, are you willing to help them out? All right, that was just two teachers. But I can almost guarantee if I ask every single teacher in this church and in this church serving in different areas, that if somebody asks for help, they're going to find a way to help you. So if you don't know how to study, if you're struggling with studying the Word, there are people all around you that are willing to help you out in some way. Maybe my way isn't great. Maybe Steve's way isn't great. Maybe Tracy's is the way to study for you. I don't know. And until you ask or until you seek help with that, well, I can't help you with that. But we got to make time. And that last thing, my first point, we got to make time to share. You don't know how to share the Word. Let me be very honest and very simple with you. I like to call it the ABCs from VBS because it's the principle that still in my head is the easiest breakdown of explaining God, right? ABC, A, admit to God that we're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus Christ came down and died for us. And C, commit our life to Him. That's that simple application from Vacation Bible School that will always be engaged in my head. But it's so much more in that you can just be honest with people and say, God's working in my life this way. He allowed me to get to share with you. Or God's working in my life because, you know what? He's allowing me to see I have it better than I know. I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward because as I close out, I just have one last piece, one last thought for you guys to think about. See, I don't know what all you're going through or what you're dealing with or where you need help, but I would tell you that this church is filled with people who will serve beside you and will help you where they can. So my last quote is if you just had one shot, one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, would you capture it? Or would you let it slip? Make time. Let's close in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, thank you. God, that we can stand before your throne, that we can take time today to worship you, but also, Lord, that we can focus our lives on drawing closer to you. Lord, may everything we say, everything we do, may our lives bring you glory and honor. Lord, let us take the opportunities we have. Let us make time to take those opportunities. So we don't miss those shots that we get. It's in your great name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Richie. Make time, I like that. Y'all please stand as we close out the portion this morning.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress. Oh, you are my portion. You are my hiding place. Oh, I believe you are the way, the truth.
This week, go make time. You are dismissed. Thank you all. Appreciate you all. Love you all. See you next week.